to God. Look at someone and say, I'm glad you're here today. These are some things that kids have said in church. A little boy was overheard praying, Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time like I am. One particular four-year-old prayed, and forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. And a wife invited people to dinner. At the table, she turned to their six-year-old daughter and said, would you like to pray the blessing? I wouldn't know what to say, the girl replied. Just say what you hear mommy say, the wife answered. The daughter bowed her head and said, Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner? The things that kids say. Hallelujah. Well, we're so glad that you're here with us today at Victory Christian Fellowship. God's got something in store for us today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. The Lord just kind of put this on my heart. What is Christmas all about? You know, we all have our traditions and things that we like to do at this time. Some think that it's not Christmas unless it snows. Well, what if you're living in Florida? You know? But it doesn't have to snow to be Christmas. Amen? If you're in a particular place, you know, some people think, well, if I'm in a particular place, you know, it's not Christmas unless I'm in that place. Well, you know what? You can have Christmas no matter where you are. Amen? And so what is Christmas all about? And, you know, sometimes we just want to say, well, I can't have Christmas unless it's on my terms, right? But Christmas has nothing to do with the weather. It has nothing to do with a place or a location or a geographic area. But Christmas has something to do with one thing, and that is a person named Jesus who came to this earth. He was the God-man. He was born of a virgin. That's what Christmas is all about. And if you have Christ, you can have Christmas anywhere you are, wherever you are. It doesn't matter. Christ is the reason for Christmas. All right? So I'm kind of excited about this. And, let me just ask you a question. Some of you that are a little bit older, when you celebrate your birthday, do you think of yourself as a baby? How many, when you celebrate your birthday, think of yourself as a baby? All right? You know, Christ isn't a baby anymore. Amen? He was a baby once, right? But he lived, he died, and now he's sitting at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. But he's no longer a baby. All right? So, what is this Christmas all about? All right? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. All right? The Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. All right? He's about to tell us about some things that went on at his birth. And I kind of thought of this like a play. All right? If you were to have a play about what Christmas is all about, and I just listed some main characters, all right? There's Mary, of course. You can't forget Mary. But there's also Joseph, all right? He had a part to play. There were wise men. There were shepherds. There was Zechariah and Elizabeth. There were angels. There was even Herod. He played the villain in this Christmas play, all right? And there were Simeon and Anna. There were shepherds and all these people. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of these people and how Christmas impacted them and what they did at Christmas. And it's going to help us, you know, because I think that today Christmas has gotten diluted. diluted. It's become something that it's not. People celebrate things about Christmas that have nothing to do with Christ. It is all about Christ. Matter of fact, if you don't have Christ, all you have is mass or a mess. If you take Christ out of Christmas, you have mass, or I say mess. Mess. All right? Think about that for just a minute. If Christ is not in Christmas, it's just a mess. But in order to have Christmas, you got to put Christ in it. Amen? He is the heart. He is the most important thing. He is what Christmas is all about. So, let's get into this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, I had to look up some things about what it meant to be espoused. I have a spouse, but I was never espoused, all right? And what that means is, in the Jewish tradition, they would consider a betrothal like an engagement. And this engagement would be for about a year long. Now, if you were to break this engagement, it would require a certificate of divorce, okay? Now, during the betrothal, the husband and wife, they didn't live together, but they were considered married, and about roughly a year later, they would have the wedding ceremony, and then they would have the honeymoon, okay? But Mary and Joseph were pledged together. They were promised to one another. And they were considered husband and wife, although they hadn't had the wedding ceremony yet, okay? Now, let me ask you this question. If you're engaged to a girl, and, you know, you've been courting her, you bought the ring, you proposed, she said yes, and now you're making plans for the wedding, and you find out your girlfriend is having a baby, how would that make you feel? Huh? Not good. No. You'd be saying, what's going on here? You know, it's of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost? You know? So, Joseph had a problem. He had something to work through. Now notice verse 19. So she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privately. Aren't you glad for Joseph's heart? He wasn't willing to embarrass Mary. He wasn't willing to make a public display of her. He loved her. He wanted her to be his wife, but you can understand from the natural point of view that if your fiance tells you that she's with child, there's going to be something wrong going on. This had never happened before, nor will it ever happen again. All right? So, women, you're safe. You're not going to have an immaculate conception ever again. It was once and done, all right? So, he's thinking about this. He's thinking about what he's going to do. And, you know, what am I going to do? Some of you, when you're faced with a problem, you think about it, right? What are you going to do? You try to figure out a solution. You try to reason it in your mind. And notice verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take Mary unto your wife. Can you imagine the fear that he was having? You know, because he would have had to give a certificate of divorce. He would have had to put away the woman that he loved, that he wanted to be with. And the angel said, fear not. Amen. Aren't you glad when God comes on the scene and he says, fear not? I'm telling you today, fear not. Don't be afraid to worship Jesus. Don't be afraid to exalt his name. Don't let fear stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And so this is good news. Do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Now notice, you shall call his name Jesus. a child that wasn't his, but yet God's given him the privilege to name him. Amen? Men, it's time that we do some naming of things. If you don't like how things are, then call it what you want. Why did he give Joseph the privilege of naming Jesus? God already gave him the name, but he gave Joseph the privilege of naming him. You shall call his name. Isn't that what Adam did? When God created all the animals, Adam got to call the animals what they are. Men, we have authority. God is respecting the authority of the husband. Amen? Some of us need to take our authority. Oh, that one rolled over really big. You need to take your authority and love your wife as Christ loved the church, giving himself for her. So he had the privilege of naming a son that wasn't his. Interesting scenario. All right? Now look at verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. You know what? God is a man of his word. He does things to honor his word. Amen? He will never lead you into anything that is against or contrary to his word. Everything that God does is in relation to his word. Now, that's good news for us. That means we can actually live by his word because his word is good. His word is true. His word cannot fail. His word is established. All right? And it goes on to say, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. All right? Now look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. So would a dream, would an angel appearing to you in a dream be sufficient enough evidence for you to act on it? Would you just hearing a word from God be good enough for you to say, that's it, I'm going to do it? Come on now. Listen. If God says you're healed, you need to believe that word and accept it and embrace it and walk in health. That means you got to stop talking sickness. All right? Joseph, he arose from this dream. All he did was have a dream. And an angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, don't fear. And that was good enough for Joseph. Say, good enough for Joseph. Say, if it's good enough for Joseph, it's good enough for me. Amen. You don't need any more evidence than what God says in his word. What God says in his word, he will perform. He will do. He will bring to pass. You know what? When God sends out a word, it does not return void or empty to him, but it'll go out and accomplish what he set it out to do. Amen. And there were some people that got a hold of that. Roman centurion. He said, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house and lay hands on my servant. All you need to do is speak the word and my servant shall be whole. Oh, if we can just trust the word like that. Now, this is the time when he probably took her to his house. All right? And that's usually where the wedding ceremony would take place. But now notice verse 25. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So he was told that his fiance was with a child, and the child wasn't his, but he was supposed to name it, and he was supposed to raise him. He was supposed to take care of him. One that wasn't his. Would you accept something that's not yours? How would you handle God giving you something? Well, that's not mine. I don't have any responsibility. Listen, if God gives you the responsibility, you take the responsibility. Each one of us have a responsibility from God. You have a responsibility to worship God in spirit and in truth. You have a responsibility to serve God. You have a responsibility to live for God, to live like Christ. You have a responsibility. How many of us are taking our responsibility and doing what He's told us to do? You're a quiet bunch this morning. I'm talking about some good news. Listen, everybody that heard the birth of Christ, except for the villain Herod, was excited, was joyful. They couldn't contain themselves. They had to tell someone else. Come on now. This is a good story. All right? So Joseph, let's go to Luke chapter 1 for a moment. And we'll back up a little bit on how Mary got to have this baby in her, all right? Christmas is all about Christ. It's not about anything else. It's about the birth of the Savior. It's about joy. It's about peace. It's about someone that can get us out of the mess we found ourselves in. It's about God coming down to earth to be a mediator between man and God, because He is 100% God, 100% man, and the way He got here was by birth. So listen, there's nothing that you are going through or have gone through that Jesus can't relate to. He was human. He walked the earth. He was tempted like we are. He felt like we felt. He had emotions that He had to keep in check. He had to live by faith and not by sight, just like you and I. Because really, this is how God got to be with us. This was God's plan all along. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Imagine if God were to come to you and say, Hail, whoever you are highly favored, and you're going to be a millionaire. I guess no one's really excited about being a millionaire. Listen, if God said that you were going to be a millionaire, how would you react? All right, that's the way. That's what I'm talking about. See? Maybe we don't have what God wants us to have because we don't get excited about it. Listen, you got 10 seconds to get excited about what the Lord wants you to have. All right. Now we're cooking. So he tells her she was highly favored and the Lord is with you and blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. Well, if you saw an angel in all his glory, you'd be troubled too. You'd be like, what is all this? And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. There it is again. Fear not. Do you realize it's going to take courage for you to obey God? And yes, you might have fear, but you don't have to act in fear. You don't have to respond in fear. You don't even have to let fear take grip on you. You can do things in spite of fear with God. Isn't it interesting? Two angels, or the angel appeared to two people, both said, fear not. Listen, in this world today, the devil promotes fear, but God promotes peace. He's the Prince of Peace, and the peace of God can trump fear. Amen? And the way He does it is by speaking, fear not. And you have found favor with God. How does one find favor with God? You have to go before God's throne. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace or favor in the time of need. So apparently, Mary must have been a prayerful person. In order for her to find grace, she must have been coming before the Lord and praying and doing what she knew to do. All right? She was a righteous person. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name. You notice the angel didn't ask her, Mary, is it okay if we borrow your womb? He didn't ask her, did he? He just said, you're going to conceive. Now, wait a minute, angel. What are you talking about? I'm going to conceive. This is my womb. Well, we need to use it. No, see, it was a command. You're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, Christmas is about a king coming to earth. He's taking dominion. He came to reign. He came to reign in our hearts. It's about the king getting access to this world to change this world. That's what Christmas is about. And Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. She only knew one way to have a baby. And you know what? It's okay to ask God questions. Did you know that God is not nervous about your questions? Why? Because God's got the answer. Go ahead and ask God questions. Just don't let doubt get in your heart. All right? This was not a doubtful question. She was just inquiring as to how is this going to happen. All right? She was accepting of it, but she just didn't know how it's going to come about. You know, God's got this call on my life, and I don't know how it's gonna come to pass. So, God, how are we going to do this? Right? It's okay to ask God how. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. She must have knew something about the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. You know, when power overshadows you, something's going to be deposited in you. We need to abide under the shadow of the Almighty in order to get His grace deposits in our life. Now, you got to listen along the way because there's going to be little nuggets of truth that the Lord, that's not in my notes. The Lord just brought that out, okay? So I need your attention. You need to be engaged into the message here. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And he said, behold, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say that with me. Say, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do you believe that? Nothing is impossible. We ought to just meditate on that for a little bit. Nothing is impossible with God. That's the key. You got to be with God. When you're with God, He's with you, and nothing is impossible. What He tells you to do, you can do. Because nothing is impossible. What He tells you to be, you can be. Because nothing is impossible. Listen, God took this shy little Polish boy named Doug Pyszka, and He saved him out of darkness. Then He called him with a holy calling. And I remember the first time my aunt heard me preach, and she was like, whoa, that's my shy nephew. She was shocked. Yeah, I used to hide under the table when people would come over. I was shy. Ain't no shy no more. Amen. So, we see here, this is the birth of Christ. All right, let's go back to Matthew chapter 2. All right? I may not get to every main person, but we're going to get to a few of them, okay? Matthew chapter 2. I like these guys. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I want you to notice, did it say how many wise men there are? No, we don't know how many wise men there were. All right? And it was interesting. They saw a star, and that star led them to Jerusalem. Now, that star must have went away for a while, because while they were in Jerusalem, they had to ask. They had to ask, notice, it says, where is he that is born King of the Jews? All right? They didn't, their journey was not complete, but you know, sometimes when you're walking in the light and you're following the light, God will lead you to a place, but then you got to ask. Ask and what? You shall receive. See, why does God want us to ask for things? Because that demonstrates faith and trust in him. All right? He doesn't want you going around thinking we know it all. Oh, yeah, I know that. No, you don't. You better ask. When you're trying to find some place that you need to be and you haven't found it after 45 minutes, ask directions. Don't let your pride say, oh, I can figure it out. No, ask. Oh, 5 minutes. Yes, the ladies clarified that on me. 5 minutes. Ladies, you need to develop patience. Just kidding. But you see, they were searching. They were seeking. All right? Now, some say that this wasn't like an ordinary star or a comet or any type of thing like that, but it might have been the very glory of God that was leading them. You remember when God led the Israelites out of Egypt? What went with them? A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and everywhere that cloud and fire went, that's where Israel went. See, I believe that this star was a glorious star. This was the Shekinah glory of God, and it was leading them, amen? The Bible says that his word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. See, these wise men had a path of light that they were following. Amen? You gotta follow the light. If you're not following the light, by basic deduction, you're in darkness. The absence of light is darkness. The absence of darkness is light. Amen? I'm kind of having fun today. This is really joyful. So, now verse 3. Now here comes the villain is introduced. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You know, this must have been a pretty large caravan with these wise men to trouble a city. You know, if the president were to visit Palmyra, you know, the city would be troubled. They would block off certain roads, traffic would be backed up, and, you know, there would be trouble in the city, so to speak. Inconvenience, right? You know? And here, Herod, who was king of this area and this region, he was troubled. He was a selfish man. He didn't want anybody to rule in his place. And, you know, these wise men were coming. And so he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. See, he didn't know where he was going to be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the people, thou in Bethlehem, the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, verse 7, says, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Do you realize the priests of Jesus' day were 5 miles from where he was born, and they had no desire to go worship him? These wise men who were Gentiles were coming a great distance just to worship him. Herod had no desire to worship him. He wanted to kill him. So, Now, verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. So the star must have not been seen for a little bit. Now they saw it again. Amen? You know, the times that you're not seeing the light, that's the times when you got to trust God and walk by faith and not by sight. There are times when God will lead you in your life and you're saying, where are you, God? And he's saying, I'm right here. Just believe, just trust, just take my hand and walk with me. I'm the same God that was with you, but I want to see how much you trust me. Every one of us will have a wilderness time. And in the wilderness is where we learn how to trust God. And the quicker you can trust God, the quicker you get out of the wilderness. The longer it takes you to trust God, the longer you'll be in the wilderness. Now, verse 9, the star was there again and went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Everybody say young child. He's not an infant anymore. He's not a baby anymore, is he? And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Everybody say exceeding great joy. Now, joy is good. Great joy is wonderful, but exceeding great joy, I'm telling you what, you cannot contain yourself. There is no lid that can contain exceeding great joy. What were they joyful about? Seeing the star. You know what? When you see something in God's word, it's going to produce a joy in your heart. When you see something that you've never seen before, it's going to spark something within you. All right? Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, everybody say house. This is not the manger. This is a house. Amen? So when we see scenes of the wise men coming to worship at the stable, they're not correct. You see how subtle things can be? And where the young child, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Now, I thought to myself, was Joseph working? Huh? He might have been working. He might have been on the job. I don't know. But it said, with his mother, Mary, they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave him money, incense, and old spice. Right? That's just my version. Money, incense, and old spice. I've gotten old spice a few times in my life for Christmas. Amen? But they actually used myrrh to embalm bodies. So they were probably giving him something for his future. And go with me to Isaiah chapter 60. I want to show you something here. Isaiah chapter 60. And however much gold that they got, when Joseph and Mary went into Egypt, he didn't have to work because they went to a foreign country. I don't know if he could do what he was doing in Egypt or not. I don't know how the laws were, but they had enough to sustain them for as long as they were in Egypt. So there might have been a hefty amount of gold. Now, Isaiah chapter 60, I want you to see this. Look at verse 3. The Gentiles shall come to thy light. Does it sound like the wise men following the star? And kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto you. The multitude of camels shall cover you. The camels of Midian and Ephah and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold, incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Does that describe what these wise men did? They came and they worshiped. They came from afar. They were Gentiles. They were following the light. Aren't you glad that the gospel is not just for the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles? It's for every one of us, no matter who you are, where you're from, what your background is, what your experience is. The gospel is for all of us. It is the greatest gift of all. It is the unspeakable gift. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And it's one size fits all. Guaranteed for eternity. Now that's some durability, amen? So we see these wise men. And the Amplified says how they came from the eastern trading tribes. And it says that their heart will thrill and tremble with joy. Do you realize that these wise men were just acting out the word? They were acting out the word. See, if you have a desire to seek the Lord, then my word to you is come. If you have a desire within you to receive things from the Lord, then come. Come. If you really have a desire, then come to the Lord. Come and receive. Come and get what you need. Come and get what He's promised. Amen? Those who seek the Lord will come. Those who do not will not. Now we're not, I mean, in one sense, we are seeker sensitive because we want people to come to Christ. Amen? But we don't compromise the message. We don't compromise the power. Here we believe in the Holy Spirit with His gifts, His power, and our ability to speak with other tongues and languages. And I'll tell you what, this is what Christmas is all about. It's all about Christ. Now let's go back to Matthew. All right? So these gifts, you know, they were probably substantial in their value. Now, in order for them to come from where they were to get to where Jesus was, it wasn't easy, all right? They had to travel. They didn't have cars or planes, and sometimes the travel was rough, and you wouldn't necessarily make that journey in one day. It probably took several days, maybe even several weeks or several months. I don't know how long it took, but they saw the star, and they got to Jesus when He was a child, no longer a baby, so that's some time, isn't it? Listen, you got to take your time to seek God. Amen? You got to keep following after the Lord every day. Every day. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Every day. How do you live? You live every day, one day at a time. You got to walk by faith. You got to live by faith. And this is what the wise men, their journey represents a journey of faith. And you know what? They didn't stop along the way to, they didn't get deterred. They didn't take a detour, did they? They kept on the path. Following the light, letting the light guide them. They just had it in their heart that they wanted to come before the King and they wanted to worship Him. Amen? Listen, we need to be like the wise men. And when worship service comes, we need to come and bow down before Him. We need to give of ourselves, give of our gifts to Him, open up our treasuries to Him. Because that's part of worship. Now, look at verse 12. They were warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country. They must have been from the same country because it said their country. It didn't say their countries, did it? They might have been from the same place to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Now it sounds to me that they had to get to Egypt quickly. You're not going to go somewhere quickly. Let me put it this way. You're not going to walk somewhere if you're fleeing, right? Fleeing means put the foot in front of the other as fast as you can. You know, like kind of when you're in the airport and you're late for that plane, you got to run to your gate and you got to. I remember at Bible school, you know, the Bible school that I went to, they were strict. And you had to be in your seat by the time the bell rang. And if you got late, you had to park on the back 40. I mean, there was a couple times I was late. I had my briefcase under my thing, and I did the Rhema sprint. I'm booking to class so I can get there. Because if you were not in your seat by the time the bell rang, you'd be considered late or absent, basically. So it sounds to me, see, isn't it awesome how God provided the wise men got there right at the right time with the provision they needed to go to Egypt. Isn't how awesome how God works? Nothing's by coincidence. It's all by design. He had the wise men show up at the right time with the provision that Mary and Joseph needed to go into Egypt because the baby's life was in danger. Hallelujah. That's how good God is. He knows what you had need of, and he had it ready and waiting for you by the time you got there. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Is this all right? This is what Christmas is all about. It's about the King of Kings coming to the earth. And it was such a phenomenal event that we're still celebrating it today. Listen, believers, in this season and in this time, we should not be walking about with our heads hung down, with our frown, with our smile upside down. Amen? You got to turn your frowns upside down. Listen, when you're shopping for your family, be a blessing. Be joyful. Be upbeat. This is about joy, unspeakable and full of glory. We should not go with the attitude of, oh, no. Listen, if anybody needs to see Christ demonstrated, it's probably the shoppers that are shopping out there today. They need someone to be Christ to them. Be the Christ to them. Amen? Now let's talk of another group of characters in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Did you know that God used a census, a Roman census, to get Jesus into the right place to be born? Listen, God will move heaven and earth to get you into the place that he wants you to be. Amen? We don't know all that God sets up, all that God designs to get us in the right place that we need to be. He moves heaven and earth. And it was because of the census that they had to go to Bethlehem. Because he had to fulfill the word that the Bible said that they were going to be born in Bethlehem. That word had to be fulfilled. Bethlehem was going to be the place, and God was going to get Mary and Joseph there no matter how he had to do it. And he'll get you where you need to be too. None of you are here by accident today. God brought you here. And there's something here that you need. There's something that you have that we need. Amen? And when we come together, oh man, it's wonderful. It's exciting. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I felt like a shepherd this morning. I was woke up at 2 o'clock this morning with some thoughts that I had to write down. And for 2 hours, I wrote those thoughts down. And then 4 o'clock, I went back to sleep. I felt like a shepherd having watch over his flock tonight. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. You know, you can't forget the angels of the Christmas story. Spoke to Joseph, spoke to Mary, spoke to Zechariah, spoke to the shepherds. Listen, God was celebrating the birth of his son. He was telling people that would listen. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Here we go again. Fear not. Fear not. Everybody say, I will not fear. And sometimes you might have to remind yourself that several times. You have to resist fear. Fear is not acceptable to God, because every time he showed up and there was fear, he said, fear not, be not afraid, be of good cheer. He never gave place to fear, and neither should we. Don't entertain fear. Don't welcome it. Don't accept it. Reject it. Resist it. Stand against it. I don't know. It's okay not knowing what you're going to do. Just don't fear. For behold, I bring you sad news. No? Not sad news? What kind of news? We need an angel network, amen, to bring some good news. I bring you good news of minimal joy, right? Are you sure? Great joy? Are you sure? Great? I don't know. You're not convincing me. What kind of joy? Great joy. Say, I got great joy. Woo! Down in my soul. Joy, joy, joy. Down in my soul. Listen, you gotta let joy get into your soul. You gotta let it get into your bones. You gotta let it get into your mind. You gotta let joy permeate. Amen. Joy can take the most lemon-sucking face and turn it around. We need joy today. There's too much sadness. There's too much sorrow. But thank God when there's a spark of joy, joy comes on the scene. Joy, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Joy is here today. Good news of great joy. God never uses adjectives lightly. Which shall be to all people. Everybody say to all. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Isn't it interesting how what exactly happened to Mary and Joseph? They went to Bethlehem. They didn't have any room in the hotel, so they had to go into the manger where the animals ate, and Jesus had to be laid in a feeding trough, and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. But that was the exact sign for the shepherds. God used the exact sign to let the shepherds know that they got to the right place. And they found, and suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Hallelujah. God brought a heavenly concert to the shepherds. Amen. He had the spotlights on, and the shepherds were in attendance. Even the sheep were clapping their hooves. I'm telling you what, God began to celebrate. He began to sing. Amen? And glory to God in the highest. Earth, peace, goodwill towards men. That's what this season is about. It's about peace and goodwill. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about his birth. It's about what he came to do. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about Christ. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Can you imagine what that scene was like? Seeing the glory of God and all these angels singing, hey, amen. That's why I stick to preaching, not singing. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. They came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, this is important now, they made known abroad. Everybody say, they made known abroad. God has shown you things so that you can make them known to others. The reason God shows you things is because he wants you to be a voice. He wants you to be a witness. He wants you to go tell someone what he's shown you, what he's done for you. Go and spread it abroad. You and I need to be like the shepherds. If the shepherds can spread it abroad, how much more can we do it today? Amen? How much more? Listen, don't let a shepherd outdo you. You make it known. That's why God showed you. That's why God did it for you, to tell someone else about it. Tell them the good news. Focus on the good things of God. You know, anybody can say to someone, you're going to hell, but can we say, God's forgiven you. God loves you. He's got a great life in store for you. Make it known abroad. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about telling others what Christ came to do. Christmas is about sharing. Christmas is about ministering, serving. It's about coming together as a family. That's what we need to do. But we also need to share it with others. Saying what was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Do we leave church praising God, celebrating? Amen? Listen, Christmas may be a lot of things to a lot of people. But to God, it's about when his son, his only begotten son, came to this earth for a mission to save us from our sins. And just like we cannot have Christmas without Christ, we can't have a life without Christ. Don't let your life say that Jesus lived his life in vain. You know, I heard someone yesterday, they said, how do you think God feels? How he gave the world his son to die for them, and they don't live. They live to themselves or to whatever. Listen, I want to encourage you today to open up your heart and to let Christ in. Let you experience what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about us having eternal life, us being redeemed, us being called out of darkness and into the light. Christmas is about joy and peace and goodwill. Christmas is about God touching earth and coming to earth as a man so that he could stand in the gap and he could negotiate for us. Christmas is about all that God wants us to have and walk in. Christ is the greatest gift. But too many people, they take the gift that they've been given and they never open it. They never use it. It's still wrapped in its package. But in order for you to get the most out of what Christ has done for you, you've got to open it and you've got to put it on. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You've got to follow him. You've got to study his word. You've got to worship him. You've got to change. Because the life that Christ came to give you is the best life that you'll ever have. It's got the greatest benefits. It'll give you the greatest joy. And it will determine your reward when you stand before the Lord at the end of your life. So what is Christmas all about? It's all about Christ. What are you doing with Christ today? How are you serving Christ? How has Christ changed you? How are you letting him lead you and guide you in the affairs of life? What are you doing with the Christ that came? It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. I accepted Christ when I was 12 years old. I fully understood what I was doing. And Christ came into my heart, changed me. I've never been the same. And I've had my ups and downs. I've had my times where I backslid. I've had my times when I wasn't faithful, when I didn't walk with him. But you know what? He was always there, and he brought me through. And I can remember the day when I made a decision that I was going to stop doing my thing, going out into the world, doing things that I shouldn't be doing. I knew that they were wrong. No one had to tell me. I knew it. But you know what? I made a decision that I was going to come back to Christ. And I went into the bookstore. I bought myself a Bible, and I've been in it ever since. And literally, I have like four Bibles that are falling apart because I've read them so much. And you know what? There's a lot of things that I don't know. I'm still growing just like you are. Amen. I'm still striving to serve Christ. I still have to live by faith and not by sight, not by my feelings, not by my emotions, not by opinions of others. This is what Christmas is all about. It's all about Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's all about you accepting your forgiveness, the truth. There's no other truth. There's no other way. There's no other life that we need to live than the life that Christ came to give us. So I want to challenge you today. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you don't know Christ on a personal level. Maybe because you don't know Christ, you're having a hard time to embrace this season. And maybe other things have taken precedent over Christ. Maybe other things have become more important, and you're doing those things, and you're leaving what Christ came to do behind. Christ should not be secondary. He needs to be primary. He's not second place. He's first place. He is the top priority of your life. Each one of us have to have our own relationship with Christ. And then out of that relationship with Christ, we do good things. We cannot do good things unless we have Christ working in us and living in us and living through us. It is vital for each and every one of us to have a relationship with Christ, for to know him. That is what salvation is. It's to know him and know whom sent him. We can know Christ. You can know him on an intimate level. You can allow him to be Lord of your life. You can invite him into your heart, and he will change you, and he'll lead you and guide you. He'll nurture you. He'll care for you. He'll strengthen you. He'll pick you up when you're down. When Christ is in you, he'll not let your soul be downcast, because he's the glory and the lifter of your head. Listen, Christ needs to be your all in all. Christmas is all about what Christ has done for you and I. Without Christ, there would be no Christmas. It's not just a holiday, it's Christmas. It doesn't matter the day that we celebrate it. What matters is, do we celebrate it? It's not so much about the day, but it's about the person. We choose December 25th. To celebrate Christmas Day. Listen, who created the day anyway? We can make any day what God wants it to be. He created the day. He gave us the light and the dark. He can make any day that he wants to be. It's not a heathen day. It's God's day. I choose to celebrate Jesus Christ and what he's done in my life. I am up here today doing what he wants me to do with my life, telling others about him, telling what he's done for me. Listen, God's done so much for me. I can't even explain it all. I can't even tell you about. He's so good. And if he's good to me, he'll be good to you. Now I want everybody to close your eyes. Everybody, every eye closed. I don't want anybody looking around. I want to ask you today, do you know Christ? Have you accepted him into your heart? Have you made him Lord of your life? Do you know for certain that if something were to happen to you today, you would go into heaven for the rest of eternity? If there's anyone that says, no, I don't know that. No, I've never made him Lord. No, I'm not sure will I be. I want you just to raise your hand in the air in Jesus' name. If you're not sure, if you don't know, I see that hand. Thank you. Any others? Hallelujah. You're about to get the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus Christ. And I want you to know he loves you. He accepts you. He died for you. He's taken your sins away. I want us all to stand up, please. And you know what? I'm not here to embarrass anybody, but you know what? We don't have to be ashamed about what Christ has done. And I want to invite you that if you raised your hand today, I just want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to my best friend, Jesus. And if you would just be brave enough to just to come forward, I just want to pray with you. Would you do that? Would you come to Jesus? Don't be afraid. You have nothing to fear. He loves you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. And if there's any others that think you need to come, maybe you've known the Lord, but maybe you've departed from him. Maybe you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know it. No one has to tell you. You know it inside. You were designed with a conscience, and your conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it tells you when you're doing right and when you're doing wrong, if you choose to listen to it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You want to go ahead and play something, guys? Keep going on. I'm going to keep pressing in, and I'm not going to quit until I graduate into glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we just give you thanks and praise for this day. Lord, may you be honored and glorified. Oh, we thank you for your precious Son. We thank you for your unspeakable gift. We give you glory and honor and praise, Father. Thank you for working mightily in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Someone praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for being bold about your decision. Glory to God. Hallelujah.